This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Well, if you're going to be along the Neuse River in the next month or so, you might see something a little surprising. A giant floating cube, part of a project that marries art and science and attempts to better understand what's going on inside the river and how communities that surround it feel about it. It's called the River Cube Project, and it's a collaboration between a sculptor and a scientist who joined me in the studio today. Christina Lorena Wisner is a sculptor and a professor in the Department of Fine Arts at the College of Albemarle. She is one of the creators of the River Cube Project, and with me now, Christina, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Good to have you here. Also with you is Matt Keane, one of the co-creators, CEO and founder of Silwood Group, also a former U.S. Environmental Protection Agency social scientist and evaluator. Hello, Matt.
Hi there. Great to be here.
Good to have you here. Christina, you're a sculptor. You've worked on found objects. Tell us a little bit about this project and how it got all put together.
Sure. So I went to graduate school at the University of Texas in Austin, and they have this huge warehouse, this huge surplus facility where graduate students and faculty could go every Friday and take whatever the heck they wanted to. And it was such a bizarre collection of stuff. And so I would go there, and on one of these trips, I happened to find these 7 canisters of extremely large film. And when I got home and unpacked it, it was aerial film of an entire river system that was taken sometime within the 1970s. And so I strapped it across my studio space and started looking at it and thinking about the connotations of what this film means, why it was used. I'm interested in found objects for what they say about our desires as human beings. And in a way, my finding it at a surplus facility, sort of what changed in those desires that made it obsolescent and no longer usable.
What did you do with it?
Well, I unpacked it, and the first time I really got to spend a lot of time with it was at the Vermont Studio Center, where I was an artist in residence for a month. And there happened to be a river that went through Johnson, Vermont. And so I took the film down to the river and put it into the river and started thinking about, you know, what is an entire river system? Yeah. What does that mean? So it wasn't enough just to sort of create this floating sculpture that would get paraded up and down the river, but really exploring what is a river in its entirety and all of the complexity that involves.
Tell me more about the floating sculpture. What's that?
Sure. So it's a 5x5x5 foot cube, and strapped across it is this film. And so the only way to see film is when you hold it onto a light box. And so in essence, I've created a giant light box that will get floated and towed down 275 miles of the Neuse River. But it has this really beautiful blue iridescent glow to it. And I'm sort of interested as a sculptor in the physical quality of the film that will be changed over time. So currently all the images are still there. But as we expose it to the light and being outside to the elements, that former imagery will be erased and sort of overridden by the actual Neuse River and the scratches in the water and, you know, the use of towing this thing down the river.
So, Matt, tell us how you came to this project.
Yeah. I think Christina's coming into it was a much more formal exploration. Christina and I have known each other for 15 years, I think. And one morning I was visiting, and I had the notion, I have no idea what Christina is doing. Christina, what are you doing? She starts talking about a cube and a river, and it sounded really interesting, but I didn't quite get it. And she said, hold on a second. She ran back, and she brought a piece of poster board into the room, and on it was drawn a cube and some ideas and some sketches, and she started explaining the idea of the sculpture, and she had a great idea. And I was fascinated by it and a poster board, and I was susceptible to all of that at that moment, I guess. And I said, I'm in.
You gotta be, because as a scientist, you know rivers don't come in cubes. I don't think they do. Maybe they do. There's probably fractions of them that are.
Oh, that's fascinating to see a lot of.
That's right. So, well, why the Neuse River, Christina? Why'd you choose that for this project?
Well, the Neuse, for the most part, sort of runs across the entirety of the state, or a large part of the state at the very least, and sort of starts to connect the rolling hills to the ocean. But it's also one of the only rivers that still has sort of towns along the way. So we'll be going through Goldsboro and Kinston and New Bern and Smithfield. So some of the other rivers don't quite have the same population. And as this is a community-based project where we're really interested in how people feel about a river and we'll be asking the question, sort of, what is this river to you? It's important that we go through not only wilderness and experience the river as nature, but also experience it as community.
And so how are you going to drag this thing? What powers it?
So we have a Hobie Tandem Island for the most part. There's some parts of the river that we can't actually tow the sculpture and we'll be in smaller kayaks. But when we're towing the sculpture, we'll be in a two-person Hobie Tandem Island, which has kick pedals that sort of function in the same way that penguin flippers would underneath the boat. Mm-hmm. And it also happens to have a sail. So we might be doing a little bit of sailing, but only past New Bern, probably.
And are you hoping that people, Matt, are just going to come up and start talking? What are you going to do to engage people? Not that this won't be a spectacle, but they might not want to come and talk.
Yeah, the way Christina described the river as complex was probably part that really got my attention. And the notion that it's full of unpredictability and uncertainty. And, for us to craft this project around this question, what is a river, and try to co-create a response, we really have to think about it in a lot of different ways. One of those will certainly be engaging with everyone we come across. And be careful, if you're on the street, we might just walk up and ask you. But everyone in all the towns that Christina mentioned and people on the river. But it's also about attending to, I think, the nature, this 2-million-year-old feature on Earth, and asking this question of that place, what is a river, and what kind of ecological or biological or chemical data and information might help to reveal something more to us about the notion of what is a river. And bringing that together with people's perspectives and the relationships between people and the river and those ecological systems, we think that coming out of that is where we'll start to see something about the answer or response.
Well, so what kind of scientific data are you going to be looking for?
Yeah, so we'll be collecting both objective data, like things like water temperature, air temperature, and weather data. We're even going to be carrying with us a sensor that some scientists, ecologists from the Smithsonian Institution have given us, that will detect tagged animals, in particular bull sharks and cow-nosed rays. And we'll be providing that data back to those scientists. So that would be an example of the citizen science that we're doing. We'll be taking systematic approaches to gathering information about people's responses to questions that reveal what they think a river is. And those systematic processes and the collection of that subjective and objective data or truths will be combining as our approach to co-creating this response to the question, what is a river?
Do you have an idea what form it's going to take in terms of, because you've got obviously some qualitative analysis going on here. If there's people telling you what they think, figure out how to work that into a project or a product, if that's what you're going for, and then some data, some real hard objective data.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been working with a meteorologist and some lightning data, and some of that, as in the probability of lightning strikes along the river when we're on the river. And that data has taken the form of some heat maps that's organized in terms of, the time of day and time of the month in the various counties along the river. And so it's visualizations that are easy to communicate. And I really like that notion of moving towards some visualizations of the information that would be useful to engaging as many people as possible with the results of our query.
What about you, Christina? Will there be an artistic product, as we like to say in the capitalist
society? Sure, absolutely. and it's interesting for me because I've worked with scientists before in that they help me understand specific places or objects, but I have never worked with a scientist sort of from start to finish, and so we're really excited about co-creating these products, if you will. And we don't know what these things will look like yet, and that's sort of exciting for us to go into this project with humility and not having any idea about what the results might look like. But there will certainly be a combination. There will certainly be some form that all of this information takes. We're hoping that this all ends in a museum exhibition sometime in 2020 where people can go and see all of this information that we've collected and synthesized and what we've created.
You know, I am interested in why your initial this artifact that you created is a cube. I made a bit of joke that rivers aren't cubes, but that would be the last thing that would occur to me if I was trying to think of a shape in which to put this film. I would think cube. You did. Why a cube?
I think, that's a great question. I think because the film is so flimsy in and of itself that I had to think of some type of rigid structure, but also perhaps, cubes are symbols of stability. I might have also gone with a triangle, but a sphere would have been more complicated, but maybe it was the simplest form. I tend to go towards simplicity when I'm building my sculptures, a sort of minimalist aesthetic, so the bare minimum for what's needed. And so I really wanted to highlight just the film. And so I think a cube was sort of the simplest way to get out of the way of just the film.
And really appreciate this. Well, the other thing is we say a river, what is a river? And that seems like a big question. But anybody who's ever seen aerial photographs of a river, the first thing that comes to my mind is, this is not a river. This is a part of something else. Mm. And you're instantly struck by the fact that what I've been calling a river is, in fact, just a fragment, not just a fragment, but miraculously a fragment of something much larger. I mean, that becomes it seems to me an interesting question all by itself, that this is a thing. It's got a name. It's called the Neuse River. But very clearly, it's part of something much larger.
That's I work with a group of system scientists, and one of the things that they spend a lot of time trying to develop tools and approaches to better understanding systems, like, for instance, a river system or a watershed, would be in critiquing boundaries. Like, what are the boundaries and how do we decide what they are so that we can have a healthy conversation about the thing we're looking at and how we might want to change it to better match, for instance, our values?
Christina, what do people say now when they look at your cube? What kinds of responses do you get?
That it's going to be incredibly difficult to pull down the river.
But I mean, even if you didn't know that was its future, right? I mean, if this thing were part of an art exhibit and people were looking at that, because it's fascinating to me to think this is a river over time, right? I mean, the film is showing you the river over time. And you've got it wrapped in a way where there's going to be some near simultaneity, it would seem to me. I mean, mm-hmm. once it comes around again, mm-hmm. I've lost the sequence a little mm-hmm. bit. So it's fascinating to me to think about the way that would strike me as a viewer, as a patron.
Yeah, it sort of resembles a roll of film in a way. And so I'm interested in the fact that it's a moving image, and we are also going to be a moving image going down the river. So. It does respond to this this idea of movement. One of the most interesting things about the film to me is that, like I said, it was done in the 70s. And so there's an image of somebody's watch on every image where they were, looking at their watch and counting, the seconds before the next image. But to answer your question, I haven't gotten that much feedback about the film yet because this is the first time that we're showing the cube. It's going to be at the Gregg Museum of Art and Design tonight. We'll be talking about it from 6 to 8 p.m. And it's part of a larger exhibition of mine that's there called Explorations.
And tell us about the Create the Cube campaign.
Sure. So we are asking folks to get involved by creating for the cube. And so that could be a drawing, it could be a painting, it could be a dance, it could be a song, it could be some sort of citizen science that somebody's doing. Maybe they've tested the water in their home for the last 10 years and they want to contribute that information. So we are open to any information that people want to submit to us, and they would do so through Instagram with hashtag CreateForTheCube. And we have all of that information on our website, which is rivercubeproject.org.
Great. And we'll have it on our website, too, and stateofthings.org, and we'll link to you. How long a trip is this, Matt? How long are you going to be going?
Yeah, well, we're going to start in the next few days, and it's 275 miles from the northwest corner of Falls Lake, where the Eno and Flat come together, the headwaters, and then paddling through Smithfield, Goldsboro, Kinston, New Bern, Oriental, to Ocracoke, and that totals up to 275 miles.
Wow. Yep. How long does that take you, roughly?
Well, according to other people that have done a similar trip, granted they have not been towing a giant sculpture, they have traditionally done it between 7 and 10 days. Several people usually stop in Oriental. But we've given ourselves from Saturday is the launch date that we're planning on launching. It all depends on the weather, but we've given ourselves till June 1st to complete the traverse. But we are also, you know, dealing with weather, and if it rains, the river is really high right now, and the current is moving somewhat fast. So,
have you contacted people along the way? Does anybody know you're coming, or are you just going to hope that people?
Parks and Rec from all of the towns we mentioned are awaiting our arrival, and we're hoping to you know, have conversations with people that live in those towns.
How about in the scientific community? I mean, anybody along the way, riverkeepers or others who are looking to look at water quality and all those other.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of we have chatted with some of the riverkeepers, and they're aware and letting folks know. And then, there are some marine ecologists at the mouth of the Neuse River who are going to be doing some work at about the time that we're arriving there. And so we'll be coordinating with them to give some talks in New Bern or Oriental as we arrive.
Well, we will hopefully you can keep us posted, and then we'll be happy to see you when you get back. Have a good trip. Christina Lorena Weisner and Matt Keene are the creators of the River Cube Project. Christina is a sculptor and professor in the Department of Fine Arts at the College of Albemarle. And Matt is CEO and founder of Silwood Group. He's also a former EPA social scientist and evaluator. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
They're going to be at the Gregg Museum of Art and Design in Raleigh tonight, 6 o'clock, for an artist talk. Also going to be, there'll be a ticketed art dissect event at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh tomorrow. And on Friday, May 10th, you can find out, well, that is tomorrow, I think. You can find out more about it at our website, stateofthings.org. You can also find out what day it is at our website. We've got all that information there, as we always do. The State of Things produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, Amanda Magnus, and Jennifer Brookland. Robin Copley is our technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stacio.